Hi, everyone. I'm Christine Lacatus. I'm one of the assistant pastors here at the Cambridge Vineyard, but I run Urban Hope Ministries, okay? So in Urban Hope Ministries, actually, we just had such a busy week, and I was in the hospital last Sunday. Not for me. My mom fell on ice. While I was in the hospital, of course, they say on the thing, and you look online, 3.5 hour wait. Well, you got to triple that a few times, right? So we were there, and we got there about 6 o'clock, and we left at 4:30 in the morning. It was so crazy, and she says in the Christmas season, it's so busy. It's just so busy. I mean, it's busy in general, but the Christmas season is more busy. And especially with the guys I work with downstairs, you know, family is so broken. And it's just such a hard time. And when you're having such a hard time, things happen more physically, right? As the Word of God says, when our soul prospers, so does our body and so does everything else. But if our soul's not prospering, you know, I have many people down at Urban Hope down in the community downstairs, they can't even stand the thought of Christmas because of the brokenness of family. Right? And that's why we're there loving. And that is what Tab told me to preach on today was love. I got a phone call at 10 o'clock and my spirit was prompt. And my grandbaby had a huge nap. So of course she's still up partying. She's a Lacatus. And I thought, is that Tab? Is something going on? Is she going to pass it over to me? Right? Is something going on? And then I went and looked on my phone and it was somebody else, right? And I'm like, okay. So this continued to be with my grandbaby, right? And then at 12:45, I get the call, right? And it's Tab. She had surgery this following Monday, Tuesday. No, we met Monday as a leadership and we prayed for her. And this following Tuesday, yes, she did go to the hospital this morning. They were on their way when I got off the phone with them. So, and that was at 7 or something this morning. So, yeah, so that's what's going on. So Tab says to me, love. So I'm like, okay, love, Lord. So I'm pondering and I'm thinking Christmas, love, right? For Jesus to come down here on the earth is the ultimate love, period. Ultimate love, right? Not only just coming here, but his life, his death, his resurrection, giving us full forgiveness with complete restoration from the power and the atonement of his blood to all humanity through all power and consequences of sin. There is no more powerful than that. That is the ultimate divine love, right? As we know, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son for all of us. For all of us. I can't explain that all, but he did it for all of us. Jesus is rooted in divine love. He came to earth for all of humanity, for you, everybody. In Ephesians 3, may you have the power to understand as all God's people, should know how wide, how long, how deep, I'm feeling stretched, right, is the love of God for us. May you experience the love of Christ through it, and it's too great to fully understand. It is so great that we cannot understand it. I was reading these devotions of people who have died. Okay, and come back to life. And this one is, it's labeled God deeply personal love, his deeply personal love for us. So with this man, he died, his name was Dean, and he died for 1 hour and 45 minutes. And when he did, he entered into God's extraordinary presence. Personally and loved, he felt so loved, and it was so unique that he felt like he was the only person on the planet. And he goes on to say, I saw the love he had for me. Picture yourself here, okay? He's standing before Jesus, Father God, and he sees the love that God is for him. Like it would go on and on. His love doesn't stop. The moment he looked at me, he loved me. Can you see this right now? Guys, he loves you. The moment he looks at you, he loves you, Howard. He loves you so much. He loves me too. The next moment, he loved me more. Makes me think of the 12 elders, right? Putting down the crown, right? Looking up and all. But that's the way Jesus is with us, with his love for us, right? It's not the holiness, but it's like, he just loves us so much. What got me was he only loved me. That's what it felt like. It was only Howard, you and him in the room. Or Pam, you and him in the room. And I started thinking about others as I was thinking that. And I thought about my wife. And I saw the love he had for her. Like, he only loved her. Are you guys getting this? How powerful this is? Anybody I thought of in the switch of my thought, I saw the love he had for them. Like, he only loved them. Lord, as I'm saying this, Lord, may this go deep. Why it makes so much sense with him leaving for the 99, right? Going off for the one. And that's his love. He will go for the one. We'll stop for the one. Somebody will say, did you see the nail prints? I saw them, but that's not what I was concentrating on. What I was concentrating on was the love coming out of every, I want to say this strongly, every part of him for me. The love of God, but it was coming out of every part of him for you, Ariel, for you, Mike. Every part of God. Like I was the only one he loved. When I finally looked at him, his eyes met my eyes. And I remember looking into his eyes thinking, he loves me so much. By the time I'm thinking of him loving me, it was old news because he even loved me more. Is that sinking? I don't know if it'll fully sink. So let's say again, what I was concentrating was the love coming out of every part of him. I'm going to say that again because it's so powerful. Every part of him for you. Like it was the only one he loved. When I finally looked into his eyes, I remember looking into his eyes thinking, like I said, I'm going to say it again. He loves me so much. And then when I looked up again, it was already old news because he loved me more. I used to think he just loves you and that was it. But it's a growing love every moment, uniquely for you. I just got that revelation. I've read this how many times? You know what I mean? It's a growing love that doesn't stop, uniquely for you. I came to understand that day that we are formed within our mother and that God uniquely goes out and creates love for us that only we can receive. It's individually tailored and made, and that's what I was receiving, that love that God had tailored for me. Only for you. Only for you. He only loves my husband a certain way that's only for him, and he loves me a certain way. He's tailored it. So personal. That light coming off him, I remember it wrapping itself around me. And someone asked me one time, was he hugging you? And I said, everything about him was hugging me. You know he has cared for you forever and will care for you forever. Wow, there's so many times in the morning I go, let's have snuggle time, Lord, right before I get up. I need that time. But now it's just growing and growing. And then another lady said on too, she said, she wasn't even really following the Lord. She died and she had a deeply loving encounter with God. I didn't realize the great worth I had in the compassion that came out of God. He goes on to say, God created us all special and unique. We are wonderful and beautiful in his sight. He desires to have such a deep personal relationship with every person he created, even those who have yet to come to know him. His love for us is personal, infinite, as though each of us were the only one he created. When you felt pure love, genuine self-sacrificing love for another person, this love actually comes from God. As Apostle John said, we love each other because he first loves us. It may seem hard to fathom that God, our Creator, loves each and every one of us this much, but he truly does. God's love is extremely personal. Jesus said he even knows the number on our head. And I, like I said, downstairs, and we're always losing hair, right? He knows when you sit and when you stand. He knows when you lay down and when you wake up. He knows your thoughts from afar. It's a pretty intimate God. He longs to share always this personal relationship with you. His deepest desires is simply, he just wants to live with you and be with you. You are his joy. You are his delight. And he loves experiencing life with you. Beautiful. Did that speak to you guys? Very powerful. So God's love is perfect. We realize ours isn't. As humans, we tend to define love based on our own personal experiences, don't we? Love, we show one another, like I said, we have portions of it, but it's fallible and what's flawed, our love. I love Jesus so much. He's absolutely everything to me. Do I still have selfish moments? I sure do. He loves every person with an extravagant love to which no human love can compare. There's nothing God does or could ever do apart from his love. Nothing. For love is the essence, the very nature of who he is. His love cannot be contained or restrained. His love cannot be contained or restrained. Don't you love that? Ah! And when we are filled with it, we are compelled to love others as he does. That's what gives me so much strength. And I deal with a lot of people that get triggered. I was reading earlier of a fellow that passed away. He was in a house fire as a teenager, and he went in to save his family, and they ended up dying. Okay, true story. This is all true stories. And he got out, and he was very burnt, okay? And he died. He was in so much pain, and he died. And when he was dead, you know, his angel came and got him, the same encounter, right? He's having an encounter with Jesus. And he said, son, it's not going to be easy for you. But it doesn't mean we're not called to suffer. He says, but my presence is always going to be with you. I'm always with you. I'm sending you back. He went back. He ended up having 32 surgeries. But he says how the love of God was with him through everything. He was a teenager. He lost his family, and he went through that pain. And he can't describe how beautiful it was and how hard it was, but how beautiful it was because the love of God is with him. And listening to that helped me. It brought healing to my heart because I listened to these absolutely horror stories, where I understand they're living in the mental ward. I understand they're living on drugs. And yet they come to know the Lord. And I see them weep down when I'm praying for them. And they had that love encounter. And they tell me even when they have to go jail time, they remember how to look for Jesus in the room and how to draw him close. And their cell will be full of his presence, right? And when something stirs up in them, you know, ask them, give it to the Lord, look for him. They come back and share that, which is there's no words for it, right? But I thought, wow, you get someone that's raised in a beautiful Christian family, which is amazing, okay? But then later on, they, well, we don't know, but there's periods where we're not walking in God's presence, right? Then you get somebody that's living hell, never had a choice from birth, right? And yet they're walking in God's presence. So it really is all about his presence. And it's all about his love. That thing in me that said, why, Lord, why? That's just so not fair. And I went, but it's all about your presence. We're winning if we come to know him. And it's all about his presence. And that presence heals the deepest wounds. You know, his love. If I'm going to sin, it means that I haven't been met in his love yet. I haven't been completed in that spot yet. So I'm like, Lord, what's in me that I'm believing a lie that your love needs to encounter in me now? So I don't have to reach for that to fulfill me. Right? It's all that we're just lacking in that area of his love that is so growing in extravagance for us. Right? You're grieving right now. Grieving is so painful. I've had so much loss. We've lost our parents, but his presence is with us. And that's where you win. That's it. We know the Psalms 139, 17, 18. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They are numbered past the sands of the seashore. You know what? I looked that up before. It's not just one seashore. It's of the world. So I would say that's a lot of thoughts towards you, don't you think? He's God. I don't know how he gives so much thoughts for everybody. But that's what it says, right? And a lot of times when I'm waiting on the Lord for a word of knowledge or a prophetic word or whatever, I'm like, Lord, just give me one thought that you're thinking for this person because you have so many, right? Just give me one thought. That just symbolizes it, right? But he just, tune me in. I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. Should have tuned in at 10 o'clock last night, but I am your sheep. I hear your voice, right? There is nothing God does or could ever do apart from his love. Nothing. I taught a little bit this downstairs, but what is the most powerful weapon that we can have against darkness? Love. You know, I'm in for all the gift things. They lead us closer to God's love, and we need to be walking in them. And theology and all that strategies, but the ultimate is intimacy with God, right? Loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and all our might. Our intimacy, placement in Christ, right in there with the Godhead, Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, constantly say when I teach downstairs, there's always four of us. Always, right? There's me, Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Always. There you go. The fourth man in the fire, Daniel, right? That is our placement. This changes everything about everything. That is our authority. That is it. It's through intimacy. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, did we? To fear. What casts out fear? Love. We receive the spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Father. That's in us. That's in us. He put it in us to love him. It's there. It cries out. It cries out. That love we just read about that he has for us that continually grows, guess what? It's in us for him. He puts it there. It's a free gift. We just got to rest in it and receive it. It's powerful. And it cries out and it bears that we are children of God. Our placement is living and being in that person of the Godhead inside of us. We should never, ever take that lightly. Do we? Sometimes, obviously, but it is powerful, right? Even when we confess negative, we are displacing ourselves out of that place of that majesty, the splendor, and the place that we are in, right? We're even downgrading ourselves, but we're even downgrading God. And there was another one in that book about our idle words. Watch what we're speaking. What we speak, we create. Whether a believer or not, you know why? Because we're made in his image. So we got to watch our idle words, right? Let's speak out words of life, because that's the God that's inside of us. I know it's hard, the world and the world we live in. Right? We get it. Because, I want to say, because we are in him, that is everything. And really, Christ in us is our DNA, and that's where the victory is, in the intimacy of his love. We are not ordinary people. Do you believe we're ordinary people? Feels like it sometimes, but we're not, right? I might be just little me, but I have the full Godhead inside of me, and I'm so loved, so loved. And that's, we need to upgrade our language, don't we, to that. The enemy should be terrified of us because who we are. And he is, but I need you to know that. It's like he comes to your door and opens, and Jesus opens, and boy, you're buffed, you know? When we're resting in that intimate place, I know Tab read Psalms 23, but I've been resting in Psalms 23, and we're talking about dining at his table. And dining at Jesus' table was, it says, the enemy's watch. Well, dining at his table is that intimate place, is the intimacy with the Lord. And as I'm dining, and he gives me abundance. You know what? He just wants to give so much. Our God is an extravagant giver. You know, a lot of times when we give gifts, it's beautiful, especially if your language is quality time and you're a quality gift giver, right? So you spend time figuring out what that person wants, but Jesus knows exactly what you want. There's so much more he wants to give you, but we're not ready for it sometimes, right? Because it will crush us. But I'm telling you, he's an extravagant giver. He gave it all. And all we have to do is say yes and prepare my heart for it, Lord. I bind myself to your will. I say that every morning and that night. I bind myself to your will, not my will. Your Jesus, right? The garden. Bind myself to you, Father. As Mary, when Gabriel, not my will, let your will be done. Be it unto your word, Lord. She was a fearful girl, of course. I'm a little freaky man. I'm getting pregnant. I've never been with a man. Come on, guys, let's be real, right? Be it unto your word, Lord. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, but I bind myself to your will. We always need to be in our place of intimacy. He has to take us out of the enemy. What does he attack you the most? Is your place of intimacy. Doubt God. What do you do to Jesus, right? Try to give him the three temptations, right? He throws the same at us. When we are not in that place of intimacy, the circumstances intimidate us, don't they? They start to surround us. I've been around so much death and people dying and tough circumstances, right? But his peace is everything. His peace is everything. And even though the situation doesn't seem like it changed, and some of it doesn't in front of me, but I feel so victorious because his peace is everything. But I continue to press and I continue to grow, right? But that peace is so powerful because you know in him that victory is in him and in his presence. It's like the guy I just told you. He came out, but his presence was everything. My presence will always be with you. And by the way, that guy ended up being a doctor, a burn surgeon, and he's brought so much healing and so much life to people. Only that intimacy brings this shield of protection around us. Intimacy creates a space for us to live in his presence, abide in his presence. Intimacy keeps his presence strong, vibrant, alive, living in the peace of Jesus who died for us. Let's talk about David for a minute, okay? David was a different man. He was not ordinary like you. He's not ordinary. When he faced Goliath, it was not because he was skilled with a slingshot, but it was his intimacy with the Lord. It was David because he was a worshiper. Because he worshiped and he practiced intimacy and he lived in God's presence on the hilltop where there was nobody else around. Nobody else could see him. And that's where he practices intimacy with the Lord. David's intimacy with the Lord caused him to run towards the enemy, not away from him. Did you guys hear that? Caused him to run towards the enemy and not away from him. What's Matrix? What's the dude's name? Neil? And then the evil people were the soup guys. Remember at the end, he ran into the soup guys. Right? He ran into the enemy's camp. And what happened? What happened? They scattered. Right? They scattered. But that's through intimacy. David was able to look at Goliath and the situation, which we all have situations, but he looked at it through the intimacy of the Lord, and he took that sling because he knew his God. That's his victory. Your victory is your intimacy with your God who loves you beyond words. That's growing even this moment. And guess what? It just grown another moment. Right? Come on. This is good news. I mean, I know I have evangelist side of me and I love sharing, but I'm telling you, this is good news. Come on. Yeah. We have a world out there so broken. We have a world here with our struggles. We're so broken, but his love goes so deep and it so sets us free from serious bondage, right? Man, I've seen people I haven't seen for years and I'd see them and they're so set free. I said, what'd you do? I just pressed into God's love and I did self-deliverance. We can self-deliver ourselves by his presence. I mean, we need each other. I'm not disagreeing with that. But guys, David was alone on the hilltop. My most deepest deliverance is when I'm alone with God in his intimacy. And I know when I have a day ahead of me, I don't move until I'm soaking in his presence because I don't trust myself. What's that saying? Don't talk to me before I have coffee. Don't talk to me before I'm with Jesus. So intimacy with Jesus is unbreakable shield. He took the head off Goliath with what? With Goliath's sword. With the enemy's sword, it was a statement to the enemy. I'll take your head off. Everybody wanted to see Goliath's head missing off the enemy. That's what we need to press into. But not, believe me, I believe in binding and loosing and all that. Don't get me wrong. But it's the intimacy of the Lord. We don't want to be like those in the Bible that was doing deliverance and they're like, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who the heck are you? Right, Peter? Right? It's the intimacy. When they look at me, they see Jesus. I was talking earlier about when Jesus was in Mary's womb and she went to go see Elizabeth, right? And John the Baptist jumped in the womb and got baptized. Well, dear, I'm carrying the same Jesus inside of me. So if I walk somewhere, I want somebody to jump in joy because they're experiencing God's presence in me. There's no difference with the Jesus in Mary's womb because I have the same Jesus inside of me. And I was sharing earlier at Urban Hope that I know when I'm around somebody and I know they carry Jesus and they haven't even said anything to me yet. There's a presence they radiate. So David walked around with the head of Goliath. Intimacy with God is our power. It is our full substance. This is the battle between light and darkness. We mess with the enemy's camp when we are intimate with the Lord. Psalms 23, the enemy watches and he flees because he sees us dining and feasting on the intimacy of our God. Can't stand it. He's like, ding, 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 I'm out of here. Right? I don't want to see that intimacy. What is it, I would say, what is it that hinders us from being the most passionate for the one who has done the most for us and loves us the most? Phil Johnson talked about, he's a quiet dude, really. That's what he says, right? He's not one to jump all the time, but he does jump in worship. But he talks about if a mother's in a mall and she's quiet, she's introverted, chicky, right? But she's walking with her little kid and she turns her head and her kid's gone and she sees a guy running out the door on the other side of the mall with her kid. Do you think her personality is going to be quiet and introverted? She's going to scream bloody murder, is she not? She's going to be running like a crazy woman to go, I know I would be. I'll be knowing every karate thing I know and deliverance and you name it, right? Come on. We're mother bears, right? Let alone fathers. Come on. Are we that passionate about our God that it's past her? That's not my culture. I'm not putting down culture. Okay? To understand what I'm saying, I'm introverted. This is the ultimate. What hinders you from being completely abandoned to our God? Because he has given you everything. And he loves you right now. And now he's loving you more. And he is the one that completely fulfills you. Amen.